The timeless theme, earth and heaven will pass away. It's not a dream, God will make all things new that day. Gone is the curse from which I stumbled and fell. Evil is banished to eternal hell. No more night, no more pain, no more tears, never crying again. And praises to the great I Am. We will live in the light of the risen Lamb. See all around, all the nations bow down to sing. The only sound is the praises to Christ our King. Slowly the names from the book are read. I know the King, so there's no need to dread. No more night, no more pain, no more tears, never crying again. And praises to the great I Am. We will live in the light of the risen Lamb. See over there, there's a mansion prepared for me, where I will live with my Savior eternally. No more night, no more pain, no more tears, never crying again. And praises to the great I Am. We will live in the light of the risen Lamb. We will live in the light of the risen Lamb.
Truth of that song, amen. One day, brethren, no more night. One day. So what are you talking about? I'm talking about going to heaven's what I'm talking about. And we who were saved are headed that way. Amen. Going to make it too. Every person that's saved is going to heaven. Now before I got saved, and I'm going to talk with you a little bit about what it is to be saved in just a moment. Before I got saved, I thought good people went to heaven. You know, that's just not so. Good people don't go to heaven. There's a lot of good people in hell. I'm sad about that. I'm sad that anyone's in hell. And God's not willing that anyone should go there. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I thought the good people were going to heaven, but good people don't go to heaven, brethren. Saved people do. Saved people do. You must be born again. It is an absolute necessity that a person be born from above. Absolute necessity that a person be saved. And so I encourage you, if you are saved, know what your inheritance is. It is a place reserved for you in heaven. And all that is God's has been left to you and I who are saved. That's our inheritance. Now, if you're not saved, I pray that you'd realize that you can be saved. Because God has sent His Son to die in your stead, to die in your place. And if you will trust not only the death, but the burial and the resurrection, that's the gospel. And if you'll look down at Mark chapter number 1, in verse number 1, it says the beginning of the gospel. There it is, the gospel. The death, the burial, and the resurrection. The gospel of Jesus Christ. That's how you get saved, by receiving the finished work of Christ into your life for the pardon and the remission of sin through the shed blood of Jesus. What a wonderful, wonderful truth the gospel is. Well, as has already been said, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. I look across and I tell you, today we had folks limping in, rolling in, dragging in, and I about missed one. Miss Gertie, she came rolling in. Amen. Good to have you back, Sister Gertie. Praise the Lord. She had knee surgery too. We're just having all kinds of things replaced and taken out and removed. But one day, there'll be no more night, brethren. No more surgeries. Amen. Amen. No more sickness. No more crying. No more tears. No more pain. You say, is there such a place? You know there is. It's heaven. Now, it's not this world. This world is full of pain and sorrow and heartache and tears. But I'm glad to know that there's a place reserved for us in the sweet by and by. On yonder shore, brethren, it's real. It's real. And we who are saved are going there. It's real. It's a reality. And I pray that you know something about what it means to be saved and going to heaven. There's nothing like it. Nothing like it on this earth. If you're saved, you ought to think about going to heaven often. I mean often. And if you're not, you ought to think about going to hell often. Because both are a reality. Both are a reality. And I trust that you'd be saved if you're not, so you could think about going to heaven and not going to hell. Well, today we have some candidates for baptism. And while we have been going through the book of Luke about certain people, I started to preach along those lines, but God just wouldn't let me get away from this passage of Scripture on baptism. So I want to talk to you about baptism. Why do people get baptized? What is baptism? So, well, it's something that the Baptist Church came up with. That's why we're called Baptist, because it's something the Baptist Church came up with. Oh, long before there's a Baptist Church, God came up with baptism. Now, I'm glad that I'm Baptist, and I'm glad that Baptists practice biblical, now listen to me, biblical baptism, because there is a difference. All right, there's biblical baptism. By the way, that's really the only baptism. We'll talk about that. As far as water baptism, the only water baptism is biblical baptism. Everything else, it's not real. God doesn't acknowledge it. And so I want to talk to you about what the Bible says. Okay? This is not something that Baptists came up with, though I'm glad that as Baptists we champion baptism scripturally by immersion after we have received Christ for the remission of sins. It's not something you do as a child before you come to Christ. It's not something you do as an infant. And there's folks who say, well, we're going to christen our child. Your child doesn't need to be christened. Your child needs to be saved. Say amen with me now. And listen, this religion out here that's promoting all this false doctrine needs to be exposed. And we're going to keep exposing it from this pulpit as we preach the truth. And so there's no christening. Say, well, you know, I want to have my child christened. Well, your child doesn't need to be christened. Your child needs to be saved in the grace of God the same way that any individual gets saved. And then they need to be trained in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord to be a servant of Jesus Christ. And so I want to talk to you. Now, some of the candidates today are children. And they have made their profession of faith in Jesus Christ. And they're going to show that profession today. Now, I said show. They've made that profession in their heart and life. And they're going to show it. We have some adults going to be baptized today. And I'm glad. I think it's a red letter day. I remember the day in mine and Sharon's life. We got saved the same night. We got baptized the same night together. And I'm glad for that. I'm thankful. I'll never forget that day. And if you're here and you're saved, I just don't believe you'll ever forget that. You'll never forget that now. You may not remember every minute detail. You may not be able to pin down a time or a date, but you'll remember where you are. And you'll remember where you were, I should say, and that occasion that happened. You'll remember that, you see. And then you'll remember your baptism. Special time, special time. It's important. Jesus placed a great, I want you to listen to me now. There are people today that say, well, you know, baptism's not that important. I want to tell you it's very important. Jesus placed a great emphasis, now listen to me, a great emphasis on baptism. Now, you don't go to heaven because you're baptized. That's not why you go to heaven. You go to heaven, as we shall see in just a moment, because your sins are forgiven, and the only way anyone's sin can be forgiven is for you to trust Christ as your personal Savior for the remission of sin. However, God, Jesus, the Bible, places a great emphasis on baptism. And we don't want to de-emphasize what God has emphasized. It's important. Now, how important is it, preacher? Now, I want you to listen to this. Jesus began his earthly ministry with baptism. And here it is right here in Mark chapter 1. The Bible says in Mark 1, look at verse 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus coming on the scene in his earthly ministry, 30 years of age, getting ready to embark on a circuit type ministry where he would give the gospel of himself, of Jesus Christ, the good news that men could be saved through his personal sacrifice. But did you know that's not just only the way that the ministry of Jesus Christ began, it's the way it ended. When Jesus was closing out his earthly ministry, he said, now I want you, and brethren, that's you and I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go ye into all nations. And he said, I want you to preach. And then he said, I want you to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Baptize them, you see. Get them saved and then baptize them. See, that's how important it was to Jesus. And if it's important to Jesus, it's important to me. And if it's important to Jesus, it ought to be important to you, and I believe that it is. And so these that are coming today, they are showing, I take what's important to Jesus, important to me. And so Jesus said baptism was important. I'm going to be baptized. Now, there may be somebody here that's been saved but never been baptized. I want you to consider that you need to be baptized because it's important. It's important. It's something for conscience sake. It's something for identity. You're identifying with Jesus Christ when you get baptized. Let's see what the Bible says. I want to give you three just real simple truths about baptism, but clear and right to the point. So write these down. Number one, there ought to be a preparation to baptism. You see, there's a lot of people who just go to church and they go forward and they get their name written down on a card and then they get their name on a church roll and then they say, well, you know, want to be baptized into the church. And they mean the local assembly. Well, that's not the way the Bible teaches it. That's not the way the Bible teaches it. The preparation for baptism is laid out right here in Mark chapter 1 and some other scripture. But let's look at Mark chapter 1. Notice what it says. First of all, I want you to notice that baptism is something that John, when he was making way for Jesus to come, let's read it. In verse number 2, it said, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger, now that's John, before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Now what's he saying? He said, I'm going to send a messenger. And this messenger is going to come with a message. And the message of this messenger is going to prepare the way. Now, what was the message of John the Baptist? Now, let's read it. Verse 3, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight. Now, what are we being told here? We're being told that Jesus is coming. And John said, I want you to prepare for his coming, first coming. And he said, the way to do that is to make straight, make it easy. See, what this term is don't want to make it difficult for God to get to your heart. make the path straight. Leave an open line between your heart and the Savior. Don't shut him out. Hear what he's got to say. See, there's a lot of people today, before they even hear the gospel, they shut it out. They shut it out. Well, I don't want anything to do with the Bible. What do you know about the Bible? Well, I don't know nothing. I know nothing about the Bible, but I want nothing to do with it. Why? I'll tell you why. Because there's an enemy, the devil. There's an enemy, and he's a liar, and he's a deceiver, and he's caused people to say, I don't want nothing to do with the Bible. I don't want nothing to do with the church. I don't want nothing to do with them, oh, Christians. You know why? The deceiver. They know very little about it, and yet they want nothing to do with it. Learn to make straight the path. Leave an open signal, an open line between you and God. And he said he's come to make his path straight. Look at verse 4. John did baptize in the wilderness. And here's what he preached. The baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. So when you get baptized, there's got to be something happen. All right? You don't just get baptized because you decide, I want to be a better person. You don't just get baptized because you decide, I want to be a part of a church. You get baptized when there's remission of sin, when something has happened in your life. Notice what he called it, the baptism of repentance. You see it there? Now, here's a word that a lot of people have forgotten about, and they want it out of their vocabulary. I want to use it and use it and use it and preach it and preach it and preach it again. Repentance, repentance, repentance. Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. It's important, brethren. Repentance is important. What is repentance? Well, this is part of the preparation of baptism. Write it down. Number one, repentance. You shouldn't get baptized if you've never repented. You should never get baptized if you've never repented. What do you mean, preacher? What is repentance? Well, Billy Sunday, many of you have read about him. You've heard of him. He was a great athlete. He was very agile. And when he used to preach on repentance, he would go walking one way and then say, repentance is like this. And he would do a backward flip and start going the other way. Now, I started to do that this morning. But I don't want to show off. You're right. I must confess, Dr. Thompson said, you don't want to break your neck either. And I don't want to do that. But that's what repentance is. Okay, repentance. You're going this way. You're going headlong in your own way. You're going in the way that you were born to go. Now listen to me. You say, born to go, preacher. Yeah, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone into his own way. All right? There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so we're just headed headlong our way, headlong toward hell. And then something happens. Something happens. God manifests himself. God speaks to us. God does a work in our heart. And we repent and we change our mind. We change our heart. We change our will. We change our actions. We change our direction. And we start going in this direction. That's repentance. Now, those folks that tell you, now you listen to me now. There may even be someone here today. I pray to God there's not, but it could be to where you're walking this way and then you just stop a little bit and say, oh, I'm going to get saved. And then you keep right on going. Hey, you didn't get saved. You didn't get saved. People who get saved don't go in the same way that they did before they got saved. Now, I didn't say you're perfect. I didn't say you were without sin. But when someone gets saved, I'm going to tell you, some things change, brethren. Some things change. Now, listen to me this morning. I get real concerned about people who always talking about being saved but never doing anything that proves they're saved. James said, you talk about having faith. He said, that faith without works is dead. It's dead. And so Jesus said right here, and Mark said it right here about repentance in verse number 4. He said, when John came, he preached the baptism of repentance. Repentance. And preparation for baptism is repentance. It's repentance. Number two, preparation of baptism is conviction of sin. Conviction of sin. Notice what he said here in verse number 4. There must be remission of sin. Remission of sin. It's when someone gets under conviction. You know what conviction is? Conviction is when God shows you that he's right and you're wrong. And you come to a full agreement with God. God, you are right and I am wrong. Conviction is humbling. Conviction brings you down to the dust. Remember when God convicted you in your heart and showed you your sin? I'll never forget the day. I'll never forget the hour, brethren. When God showed me myself, I am so thankful that God showed me as I was and showed me he as he is. And that brought conviction in my heart. I'm talking about sorry that I had broken God's law. Have you ever been sorry for that? You know, a lot of people get sorry that they get caught, don't they? Remember, listen, some people grow up, they never grow out of it. Remember when you was a kid and you got caught doing something and listen, you knew what was going to happen. If you grew up in the right kind of home, you knew what was going to happen. You knew what was coming because you broke the law. You broke the rule and you knew there's going to come some punishment for this. And you were sorry. Now, you may not have been sorry for what you've done. You were sorry for what was coming to you. Now, there's a lot of people that get in that place in their life and they think, well, that's conviction. No, it's not. That's sorrow. I'm just sorry I got caught. And there's a lot of people that get in a bad way in their life and they say, well, you know, I want to do better. And they think they can, under conviction. That's not conviction. You're sorry because you got caught. Now, let me give you a good example. I want you to listen to me. There was a time in all of our lives when we broke our parents' rules. We broke their law. But when we began to mature and realize the effect of us breaking the law had on their life to where we realize it's breaking my mama's heart. Now, something's going to change. Listen, if all we're concerned about is I broke a rule, I broke a law, listen, that's just sorry I got caught. But when we get concerned that we broke a heart, I didn't just break mama's law. I didn't just break mama's rule. I broke mama's heart. And I don't want to break my mama's heart. You see, when you get under conviction for your sin, you'll realize that you've done more than break God's law. I broke God's heart. I've sinned against God. I've done wrong and I've sinned against God and God's not pleased with me and I don't want to do that anymore. You get sorry for what you've done, not that you got caught for what you've done. Everybody understand what I'm saying this morning? See, that's repentance. That's conviction. That's conviction. And it leads to confession. The Bible says, notice it here. Notice it, if you would. In verse number 5, it says, and they went out all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem and were all baptized into him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. I'm talking to you about preparation for baptism. There's got to be repentance. There's got to be a turn. There's got to be a sorrow. There's got to be a conviction for your sin. And then there's got to be a confession of your sin. Preparation. You need to get saved. See, that's what being saved is. Saved is not joining a church. Saved is not a decision that you're going to live better. Saved is not a ceremony like, well, being baptized. Well, I'm going to go get baptized and I'm going to go down a wet center and a dry center. I'm going to come up a wet saint. That's not so, brethren. The only thing that will wash away our sin is the blood of Jesus Christ. And so I want to make that very clear because there's a lot of discussion about baptism. There's a lot of discussion about what it is and what effect it has on our lives. And it is not to wash away our sin. There has to be a preparation biblically before we are baptized. And so there's repentance and conviction, confession. And then there's even contrition. Right? You say, what's that, preacher? That means a contrite heart. You not only realize that you've sinned against God, you're sorry you've done it. Well, I remember the night that God broke me down, and you remember in your life too, if God ever brought you under a Holy Ghost conviction, you remember the sorrow. I am sorry that I've sinned against God. You begin to look back over your life, right? Right, folks that are saved, right? You begin back to look back over your life and you realize, I have wronged people. I have wronged people. I have wronged God, and I'm sorry for that, and I don't want to do that any longer. How can I be different? Well, there's only one way, and that is to come to Christ. And that's where confession and conversion comes in. See, when you get saved, God places His Holy Spirit in you. And now you have the divine nature, and you can live your life for Jesus Christ. That is preparation for baptism. These candidates that come today that's going to be baptized here in just a few moments now, they're not coming just to join the church. They're not coming to say, well, I decided to do better, and so I'm going to be baptized to make the statement that I've decided to live a better life. That's not what baptism is. I'm going to be confirmed in the church by being baptized. That's not what baptism is. You say, well, what is it? Well, I'm telling you that there's a preparation for it right here. So you must be saved. Now, I wonder if there's someone here this morning, in your heart, you're thinking, I don't know if I'm saved or not. I mean, I want to do right, I want to live right. I have a desire to please God. Well, let me say this. If there's been a time in your life where you trusted Christ, you realize I'm a sinner. See, that's the first step of being saved. You've got to realize you're a sinner and need to be saved. Right? I'm a sinner. I've sinned against God. And God sent His Son Jesus to die in my place. See, the Bible says the soul that sinneth, it shall die. I ask people this question. Why do people die? Well, people die because they get old. You know better than that. You don't have to be old to die. Well, you know, preacher, people die because they get sick. You don't have to be sick to die. Why do people die? People die because they sin. Where'd you read that, preacher? Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death hath passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We're all going to die because we've all sinned. All right? Yet Jesus Christ came and He lived a perfect life. He never sinned. How many believe that? Raise your hand and say amen. Amen. I believe Jesus came and lived and never committed not even one sin. Not one. Perfect. And yet He died. You say, well, if people die because they sin, and Jesus did no sin, why'd He die, preacher? He died for your sin. He died for my sin. See, I can't die for my sin. I can't die for the penalty. I can't remove my sin by my death, because that's the penalty. But Jesus removed that penalty when He died in my place. That's called substitution. Substitution. And that's what Christ is. He died a substitutionary death, which means He took our place. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for He, meaning God, hath made Him, that's Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. In other words, God sent Jesus to take your place on the cross. God sent Jesus to take my place. And if you will receive what Jesus has done for your sin, you can be saved. Now you're ready to be baptized, but you're not until then. All right? So I hope you've done that. You say, preacher, I've done that, but I've never been baptized. Well, I want to encourage you to be baptized, and I'll do that in just a moment. But now, what about baptism? You say, well, I tell you the way we did it over at the church I went to. I went forward and I bowed my head, and they sprinkled some water over me. You didn't get baptized. They dipped out some water out of a pitcher and poured it over my head. Preacher, you didn't get baptized. Not biblically. Can I show you something? I want you to underline some things here now. Look at it if you would. Look at verse 9. It came to pass in those days, I'm in Mark 1 verse 9. It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John with Jordan. Your Bible doesn't say that, does it? Your Bible doesn't say that, does it? So you don't get baptized with water. You get baptized in it. Somebody say amen with me now. Say, preacher, that's pretty deep. Yeah, I know. That's real simple. But sometimes we humans have problems with simple stuff. They didn't listen. It didn't say near either. It didn't say that Jesus went down there to get baptized near Jordan. They didn't rush over there and, you know, get a pitcher of water, you know, well, it's near, and run back over. And that's not baptism. Don't you let anybody fool you now. That's not baptism. Well, we're going. That's not baptism. Nope. As a matter of fact, this same passage of Scripture, John tells us about, and we'll turn there in just a moment. Look, if you would, at verse number 10. And straightway, verse 10, Mark 1, coming up out of the water. Hey, man. If you're going to come up out of it, you've got to get down in it. Hold your place here and go to, with me to John just for a moment. In John chapter number 3. In John chapter number 3. I'm talking to you now, not about the preparation, but the pattern. How do you baptize people, preacher? Do you get like a little, you know, a special little instrument and you dip it down in water and sprinkle it on them? That's not baptism. It would say, well, that's the way this denomination does it or that denomination does it. We're not concerned about denominations right now. We're concerned about what God says in this book. The Bible is always right. The Bible is always right. So if you're going to get baptized biblically, you've got to find out what God says about the biblical pattern. We've seen the preparation. You've got to be saved. Listen, you must be born again before you're ready to be baptized. And then the pattern. The way you go about it, the actual procedure of being baptized is you have to be immersed. The very word baptized means to be immersed into the water. In John chapter number 3, look if you would, and let's see. Let's look over in verse number 26. John 3:26, they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan. Now this is where they are. Remember Jordan, right? That's where John was doing the baptizing. By the way, and I don't have time to go into this, Jesus walked 60 miles to get baptized. From Nazareth to Jordan. 60 miles. You say, was it important to him? I think it was. I think it was. 60 miles. Now, it could have been, certainly the importance, but it could have been, needed enough water. You say, why do you say that? Well, let's see what the Bible says now. Notice it here. He said, Rabbi, verse 26 of John 3, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to meet him. So it's talking about that same thing, that same area right in there, around Jordan. All right, now go back to verse 22. After these things, John 3:22, after these things came Jesus and his disciples unto the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. They said, you know, that guy was right there with you around Jordan when you were baptized. And they came and said, he's baptizing. Well, why is he baptizing around Jordan? Why is he baptizing in Jordan? Why is that important? Well, look at verse 23, if you would. John also baptizing in Anan near Salem, because there was what? Much water there. Now, if I didn't need a big body of water to baptize it, to immerse people, I could just take a few cups of water and we'll just get it over with. You see, there's been churches in the area that have called us up and said, hey, listen, we want to have a baptismal service. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, just get you some Dixie cups and fill them up and sprinkle them. I didn't do that. I said, listen, you're welcome to use this baptistry that we have here at Fellowship Baptist Church anytime. You just take care of what we have, but you bring your folks on. And we've had folks to come and have baptismal services here. Why? Because we believe that the Bible teaches baptism by immersion. And I want to help any church in the area that's getting people saved, that doesn't have the resources to baptize people. I want to help them out. And listen, if you didn't need much water to baptize, I could just say, get you some, you just go buy you a 99-cent pack of Dixie cups and go at it. But brethren, that's not what baptism is. Baptism is immersion. Now there's, you say, well, that's not important, preacher. It's very important. Because baptism has a message attached to it. And that's going to be my final point as we go back to Mark chapter number 1. So we've seen the preparation of baptism. You have to be saved. And these folks that will be coming today and folks that will be coming in the future, when they get saved, brethren, the first thing I tell a person when I lead somebody to Jesus Christ is, now you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. If you read in Peter, it says it's for conscience sake. It's the first step of obedience when you get saved. Now, don't you listen. Don't you get up to the plate and hit the ball and run to second. You take your baptism. Amen. We've quit preaching this in our churches. Now we got folks getting saved and go years without getting baptized. You ought to, listen, if you're dealing with somebody and they get saved, you ought to tell them, you need to get baptized. So we're going to watch them for a year, preacher, and make sure it was real. Well, I doubt you could do that and know it anyway. Amen. You bring me a scripture for that and we'll start doing it here. There's no scripture for that. I know when that unit that was with Philip got baptized, he said, hey, here's some water. What does hinder me from being baptized? You know what Philip told him? He said, if thou believest with all of thine heart, thou mayest be baptized. He said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. He said, come on, you ready. Amen. Read it in Acts chapter 8. And so look, we don't want to get into these unscriptural practices. And I want us to understand, I think we do as a church, we baptize because it's biblical. And there's a preparation for baptism. And it's not just to turn over a new leaf or to be a do-gooder or identify with the church. You're identifying with a person. All right? You get baptized when you get saved. Then you get baptized. All right? That's the very next step you should take when you get saved is to get baptized. That's the preparation. Now, what's the pattern? It's by immersion. It's by immersion. Much water, John 3 said. Baptized, the very word baptized means to immerse. I could go into some detail and I don't want to, but the word baptized, listen, is not even an English word. It was brought over. The word baptized in our King James Bible is not a translation, it's a transliteration. And it's proper. And it's really something that back then that those folks attended the Anglican church but did not immerse. And yet they used the word baptized. Isn't that something? You know why? Because the Holy Ghost of God is in this book. That's why. Search it out. It's something. The very word baptized means to immerse, to place under. And so you say, well, I heard one fellow say, well, isn't immerse and submerge the same thing? Oh, no. What's the difference between immerse or emerge and submerge? If you submerge something, it may not come back up. Now, those of you that are being baptized today, I've gotten a promise from the assistant pastor, he's going to bring you back up. So don't y'all get nervous. All right? We're not going to submerge you. We're going to immerse you. Amen. We're going to bring you back up. Why? It's the Bible way. Because when Jesus went in the grave, he didn't stay in the grave. And that's what going into that water is a picture of. Now I want to close with this. And my time is up. The final thing about baptism is the proclamation. It sends a message. See, when Jesus went to get baptized, and today's message is not about the baptism of Jesus, but he was being baptized into the priesthood, but he was also identifying with us. He was identifying with us. Now, there's two ordinances of the church. I didn't say three. So don't come barefooted tonight. There's two ordinances. That's right. I'm serious. Now, if you don't have any shoes, that's fine. You come barefooted, but don't come expecting me to wash your feet. Somebody say amen with me now. There's not three ordinances in the church. So, preacher, you kind of putting it out there this morning? Well, it needs to be put out there. We've got some folks confused. Well, I know what John 13 teaches. Yeah, I do too. That's why I said don't come barefooted tonight. So listen to me. Two ordinances. Baptism. Listen carefully now. The Lord's table. Some people call it the Lord's Supper. Now, there's significant. Baptism, I want you to write this down now. Baptism speaks of our union with Christ. And the Lord's table speaks with our communion with Christ. They're different. It's different. See, one's a union. And it happens when we get in Christ. That's union. That's us getting in Christ, in the body of Christ. That's us identifying. That's us getting in the body of Christ. We get saved. We get baptized. Now there's a union. Now there's a relationship. That's why baptism should come first and then the Lord's table. Why? Because there should be union before there's communion. There should be relationship before there's fellowship. That's what they are, brethren. That's the two ordinances of the church. Well, preacher, why do we have people get baptized? It's an ordinance of the church. Why do we have the Lord's table? Because it's an ordinance of the church. It's the only two ordinances, you see. And churches ought to practice these things, brethren. God set it up in his word. It is important
to God that we do these things. We don't just do these things to be doing them. We do them because God said so. Right? So knowing your mind and knowing your heart, what you believe about this book, baptism, union, I'm in Christ. See, when today, Pastor Brandon is baptizing, and he's going to take that individual and he's going to say, I baptize thee in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, buried in the likeness of his death. Romans 6, just write it down and go home and read it. Buried in the likeness of his death. I'm identifying that I believe that Jesus died for me and raised to walk in the newness of life. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus, amen. And I want everybody to know I've been set free. Set free. I'm getting baptized to let people know what happened on the inside of my heart. Amen. I've been set free. I'm identifying with Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Amen. Change my life. That's what baptism is doing. It's a message. It's a message. I go down. I'm identifying that Jesus died and was buried. And I'm coming up. I believe that he resurrected. And now I have forgiveness of my sin because I've trusted, I've identified with that work. You understand that, right? You go down, you're saying, I'm dying to myself. I'm dying to the old me. You come up, I'm going to live a new life now. Amen. Why? Because my sins have been forgiven in the blood of Jesus Christ. And I want everybody to know outside what happened to me inside. See, when you get baptized, you're saying to a world out there, you're saying, hey, I want you to know what happened in my heart. I believe that Jesus died and was buried and rose again. I want you to know that I'm not the same old person I used to be. I'm a new man in Christ because I've trusted him as my personal Savior. What a testimony baptism is. What a testimony. And it's broke down in Romans 6 for us. All right, so baptism. It's got a message to it. See, I don't want anybody sprinkling now. Sprinkling is not baptism because that's not a picture of the death and the burial. You got to go under. Under death and burial. Up resurrection. Under the old Dale Freeman. Died the new Dale Freeman. Emerged because of the forgiveness of sin. And that's what my message is when I got baptized. And today we got four candidates just saying, you know what, that's me. I want everyone to know what happened in my heart. That's why you get baptized. It's a message. It's a testimony. It's an identification that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Let's all stand to our feet. What about baptism? Well, it's important. And we don't preach on it a whole lot anymore. We talk about it, but we don't preach on it a whole lot anymore. And we just assume, and I've been guilty myself, we just assume that there's people in our churches that know these basic doctrines of the faith. And baptism is very important. It's very important. It was important to God. It was important to Jesus. As I said, he started his ministry with it. He commenced and ended his ministry. And he said, I want you to carry it out. Go get them saved. But don't end it there now. Get them baptized. And then disciple them. I want you to bow your head with me, and I want you to ask yourself a few questions now as our candidates. If you're here to be baptized, and those that will be part of the baptismal service and ceremony, you go ahead and prepare for that. The rest of us, I want you to bow your head with me just for a moment and ask ourselves a few questions. Number one, are you saved? Are you saved? Has there ever been a time in your life where you realized you were lost and needed to be saved? And you came to Christ and repented from your sin and asked for forgiveness, believing that he died for your sin, he was buried, and he rose again. You trusted that for the forgiveness of sin, and you cried out to him in mercy and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And you trusted Christ for as your Savior for the forgiveness of your sin. Have you ever done that? If you have, I want you to lift your hand real high this morning. Lift it real high. I'm saved. I've trusted Christ as my Savior. Okay, you can put your hand down. Is there anyone that's never done that? Say, preacher, this morning as the Word of God was being preached, I realized I'm not saved. And I want you to pray for me. I'd like to know more about what it means to be saved. Would you pray for me, preacher? Anyone like that, raise your hand up, put it right back down. Just raise it up and let me acknowledge it, then put it right back down. Anyone? in here, preacher, I'm not saved. Okay. By the testimony, your testimony. We've got a house full of saved folks this morning. Now I want to ask you a second question. Preacher, I know I'm saved, but I've never followed the Lord in believer's baptism. That's the next step. Once you get saved, the Bible says baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I've been saved, but I have not been baptized, and I want you to pray for me. And I'm not going to come to you or send a baptismal, quote-unquote, committee to you. That's not what. I want you to identify that I have not been baptized. I've been saved. But now that I've heard what the Bible says about being saved and being baptized, in that order, I've not been scripturally baptized, and I want you to pray for me. Anyone like that, lift your hand. I've not been scripturally baptized. Just slip your hand up. No one's going to. God bless you, sir. Yes, sir. God bless you. Who else? God bless you, ma'am. I see your hand. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir, right here on the front. God bless you. Who else? I've been saved, but I haven't been scripturally baptized. I'm saved. God bless you, young lady. God bless you. Okay, I see your hand right there, young man. Several folks. Who else now? Don't be ashamed. You know if you've been baptized or if you haven't. If you haven't been baptized, it's nothing to be ashamed of. I want you to pray about it. Now that you've heard what the Scripture teaches, I want you to pray, and I'll try to help you in any way. I'm not going to coerce or force or intimidate. I just want to pray for you and help you to know the joy of following the Lord in this step of obedience. Anyone else now before I move on? Okay, so we have several folks that are here that are saved but have never been baptized. And so I want you to pray about it. If I can help you in any way, come to me or someone in the church, an assistant pastor, a good deacon, a good lady of the church if you're a lady, and you want to talk about that, we'll help you in any way we can. Okay? Final question. Preacher, I'm saved. And I've been baptized. But my discipleship, I need some help to grow. Because the Bible does say that once someone gets saved, they're to be baptized, and then they're to be taught to observe all things that God has commanded in His Word. So you need some help in that area, and I'd like to help you. Say, preacher, I've been saved, and I've been baptized, or maybe I've been saved and I haven't been baptized. I'm one of those that said I haven't been baptized, or well, you said or you didn't, but I need to be discipled. I want some help in growing, Bible reading and prayer and witnessing and these things in the faith. And I want you to pray for me, preacher. I need some discipleship. I need to grow, and I need some help in this area. Anyone like that before we close our service? Raise your hand. I need some help. God bless you. God bless you, ma'am. Yes, sir. I see your hand. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. God bless you. I see your hand right there, sir. God bless you. Who else this morning? I've been saved. I'm willing to be baptized. God bless you right there, young man. I see your hand. I've been saved, I have been, or I'm willing to be baptized. God bless you, sir. I see your hand. God bless you. And I need some help with discipleship. Now, if anybody else before I say what I'm going to say. Anyone else? Now, if you raise your hand, don't you leave the service today until you come to me so I can get your name, and I want to help you. I'll send you some material. I'll try to set some up with you. I'll work with you. I'm not going to force you in anything. I'm just not wired that way. But I do want to help you. And this church wants to help you. This church is a church of loving, caring people who wants to help you to grow in your new faith in Jesus Christ. Allow us to do that. Don't leave here today without writing your name on a piece of paper or coming to me so I can write it down. And I'm going to take those names and I'm going to begin to contact you and see how we can help you. It may be through material. It may be through personal Bible study. It may be through resources that we can get to you to help you to grow. All right? Okay.